We need what we call the separation of spirit, soul and body. The Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23 tells us that we are made from we are spirit, soul and body. We are spirit beings, we have a soul and we live in a body. The body is sometimes called a temple or just a tent or a tabernacle. It's just a vessel. But primarily we are spirit beings who have souls and we live in a body. Say, I have a spirit. I am a spirit. Can this section say, I am a spirit? And this section say, I am a spirit. Let's all together say, I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. So this body is not you. This body is just a house. There's something else living in your body. Your spirit man with souls. In order to detect what God is doing, we have to separate the spirit, soul and body. And I'll explain why. Let's turn to some scriptures first. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 23. Not verse 12. There's no verse 23. Hebrews 4 verse 12. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There he explains the separation of soul and spirit. In other places like Corinthians, it separates the physical body from your spirit man. But overall, we have the picture that your spirit, your soul, and your body needs to be kept separate by the Word of God. It didn't say split them up. It says it's just divided so that you know where each begins and the other ends. Spirit, soul, and body. We know the Bible says that. The question is, why does God want our spirit separated from our soul and our body? At this point, we have the illustration. I'll bring one illustration here. And what we're going to bring is four cups. One of the cups is going to be filled with Coca-Cola, yes. The other with some fizzy strawberry drink, thank you. Some fizzy strawberry drink. And then one of the cups is filled with lemonade. And then the fourth is an empty cup. Let's put, which would be a nice one. Let's put your spirit man represented by this cup of lemonade. All right, it's pure, it's white, it's nice. Your soul. Let's put this, thank you. Your soul, let's use the strawberry fizzy drink. And your strawberry fizzy drink, that's red in color here. Lemonade is crystal clear. And your body, with this caffeine inside. Coke or Pepsi or whatever it is. So that's a black one. So you have black, red and transparent. And an empty cup. So you have spirit, lemonade, your soul, the strawberry, and your body, the black colored coat. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, if your spirit, soul, and body is not separated, and it's all mixed together, I'm mixing the lemonade, the strawberry and the coke. It does give an interesting color. And so I have in my cup now, using this empty cup, I fill it with a bit of lemonade, a bit of strawberry and a bit of coke. It's all mixed up together. You can't tell one from the other. And I have a drink. Thank you. You can't taste what it really is like. I can't taste, really taste the coke, although I can smell the coke. I can taste a strawberry. It seems to be a very strong flavor. I can taste a little bit of the lemonade, but if I didn't know that I put lemonade, I wouldn't know lemonade was inside. So it's a very strange drink. Most of you don't drink this drink except the little kids. Makes all things about. Now, if your spirit, soul and body is all meshed together, you wouldn't know when God is sending a signal to you in whichever area. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know whether it's your spirit, your soul and your body. And how do we receive those signals? Your spirit, when it receives from God, it will, and a stirring from God, you can have spiritual desires. I use the word desires generally. Spiritual desires arise from your spirit. Now your soul also can, if you have its own desire, to desire the wrong things, like in the Garden of Eden. They desire a fruit to be desired to make one wise. That was not a godly desire. That was a soully desire. So the soul can have a desire too. And you and I know our physical body can have desires too. It has its own appetites. We call that the carnal appetites of the body. It needs to be subjected to God's word. Not that the body is bad, but the body's appetites needs to be contained all the time. If it's out of whack, then you become too physical dominated. So desires can come in your spirit, your soul and your body. But in order to qualify them, let's call the desires of your body related to the passion or compassion of the Lord. But let's look at this way here. When we mix all three, you can't tell the difference. Now, we all know desires, right? Some of you have desires in different areas. Your desires and aspirations, or whatever way you want. The desires that come into you. And they drive you. Desire is what makes the difference between a good student and not a good student. Desire is what makes the difference between a hardworking person and a person who is lazy. That's the difference. It's not their ability. Some people have a great ability to do many things, but they don't have a desire to do it. So desire is important. But my question is, how do I know which direction or where my desire comes from? If you don't separate your spirit, soul and body, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. But if you separate them by the word of God, because the word could define and cleanse each one, and you separate them, then when it's from the spirit, and I just use the lemonade, I could taste the full lemonade taste. And if it's for my soul, I know it's for my soul. Here is strawberry flavored. It's all nice and strawberry. Although it tastes artificial. Nothing like the strawberry some of you grow in your backyard. If it's for my body, I could taste the caffeine. My body loves it, but I say, get down, buddy. Not too much of you. So, the reason why we separate them, and the reason why God needs to separate them, is so that you could tell the difference when God is stirring in your spirit, soul, and body. So when God separates it in our spirit, soul, and body, and God is working and speaking to us, how do the ways of God come? Like we talk about God's communication through the spiritual realm. We know right now we're communicating through the voice realm. Through my voice, you're hearing these words. Now, do you know that sound waves can have three, sound and music, all these are sound waves, has three different qualities. Sound has a quality of pitch, which means it can be very high, it can be very low. That's pitch, high or low. Sound can be loud, or soft? That's a different quality of sound. Loud or soft. Third quality of sound is called timbre. That is, if I hit wood, it gives a particular sound. If I hit metal, this metal doesn't make much sound. It gives a different sound. I wonder whether I could do this. Now, I'm not so successful at that. And if I hit glass, it gives a different type of sound. Now, the third quality of sound is that you could have a drum playing in the C vibration. C is X amount of vibrations per second. You could have a saxophone playing C. You could have piano playing C. You could have guitar playing C. They're all the same pitch and same volume, but the quality of the sound is different. Or the identity of the sound is different. That's called timbre. Now the third quality of sound is caused by the molecular structure of the instrument vibrating. Because the molecular structure of wood, the molecular structure of glass, and the molecular structure of metal are different. And you could make them all vibrate at C, at a C chord. And you will have different timbre. You understand that? So that's sound waves. Now, light also has the same three qualities. Light waves have the same three qualities. Light has wavelength, you call it wavelength, right? And the wavelength of the light can be broad. Light actually is called in science electromagnetic wave. So the wavelength, a microwave and all these waves are all the same type of photons or light, but flowing at different wavelength and different frequency. So let's use a simple word for our layman's term, light. Light has wavelength. Now the wavelength is the same as volume, right? Volume control. How high the waves go in sound and how low, right? So it's like your volume control in the sound. Light, let me get the right illustration. Oh no, it's not the volume, it's the pitch. Like in sound you have low and you have high. Right, that's pitch. That's cause different wavelength, right? High or low. So light has wavelength. Light also has volume. But we don't call volume in light, we call that frequency. Frequency. That means per square inch or per meter, how many wavelengths have passed by. So the more is transmitted, the more the amount of light has traveled. So it has frequency. Frequency is an example of within 1 meter how many wavelengths has passed. So the more that pass is like the volume control. Like more volume, louder vibrations in sound. Light also has the third quality. And in a sense, the third quality in that all light sources reveal their molecular structure. So if I burn hydrogen and I take a picture of the light that comes from hydrogen, I will see a signal which is given by the hydrogen atom and molecules. You know, light has, if it looks something like the barcode. You know, you have seen barcodes in all the things you buy. Light has barcodes. And there are black and white lines, black and white places that shows that particular wave, like hydrogen broadcasts its light in, let's say, A, B, C, D, E. But in hydrogen, let's for example, E will be turned off. So every time I see light and I see A, B,
E will be turned out. So I see A, B, C, D, and E is black.